You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes a secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. A world dismissed as conspiracy by those who want to keep its secrets hidden, exposing the dangers, denials, and deceptions. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.
Back, ladies and gentlemen, to this edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. We are this episode, The Taking of America 1-2-3. Did you get the reference to the taking of Pelham 1-2-3? Just like that movie, the 1974 version, favored over the latter version. America has been taken over from within. Now, we have a job to get out from under the boot, the tyrannical boot. What we are going to be talking about as well for the next hour are the very issues, the boot. We're going to be exposing the boot and who's wearing the boot of tyranny. Because in order to take over our country from within, which has happened, of course, we have to know who the perpetrators are. Now you say, oh, wait a minute, we know who they are. We don't have to talk about this. Well, no. When you're faced with a crime, we've got to expose the perpetrators and conspirators of that crime. That's exactly what we're going to be doing tonight. So we're going to be talking about the various issues, the economic tyranny, the lack of freedom of, if you're a reporter and you want to video or take audio of a open meeting in a city, you just might find yourself in leg irons and handcuffs. We're going to be talking about other issues related to the suppression of the freedom of speech. We're going to be talking about the TSA as well, their treatment of a woman.
A girl.
Well, yeah.
And their expansion of, they want to expand security to outside the airports, which is
during the night I happened to switch on the television, and I was having a fitful night last night, and I was watching the documentary about Hitler's brown shirts and how they came to power, and I saw a lot of parallels in this in the Hitler's the series is Hitler's Bodyguards. But I saw a lot of parallels between the Hitler brown shirts, the SA, and right after, or as Hitler was rising to power, and of course the purge after that. And folks, you can watch it; it's a pretty interesting series. But that's the tyranny, the taking of America 1-2-3. Before we get more into that, Joe,
got a quick announcement from Hear the Watchman, Knoxville. Folks, don't miss out on Hear the Watchman. Knoxville, Tennessee, just under 90 days away. Enjoy the early registration special pricing of $99 a ticket by purchasing now. The special of $99 per ticket will be applicable until midnight on July 4th, which they then go up to $139 a ticket. So you're saving $40 a ticket. Visit hearthewatchman.com. Watchman is spelled with an E, W-A-T-C-H-M-E-N.
Plural.
Yeah, hearthewatchman.com. The guests there will be Paul McGuire, who we had on last night. You have Pastor Paul Bagley, Reverend Flip Benham, Josh Tolley, Russ Dizdar, John Robinson, Coach Dave Dobenmeyer. Hear the Watchman in Dallas was just the beginning. Come be blessed. Get baptized. Spend the weekend with like-minded individuals from around the country. And Hear the Watchman in Dallas, me and my wife got baptized. It was a wonderful spiritual experience. The harvest has come. Hear the Watchman in Knoxville. Get your tickets by midnight July 4th at the discounted rate of $99 per ticket. Again, the offer expires at midnight on July 4th.
Another announcement, I'm going to be on the Common Sense Show, Dave Hodges, Sunday night. I spoke with Dave this week. We're going to be talking about a number of issues, especially the elections, but, well, it's going to be 2 hours filled with a lot of great information. So join me, won't you, on Dave Hodges of the Common Sense Show this Sunday. And if you haven't heard, if you didn't hear last week's show, Dave Hodges with Steve Quayle, it's worth a listen. Now, right before the break, we were talking about a number of things, but we left off with the UN vehicles. Remember? What's up with this?
West Virginia, Texas, Nebraska.
Right.
Among a few of several states where UN trucks have been spotted on the... Yep. MRAP, UN-type trucks, have been spotted being moved en masse.
And, of course, they were first spotted on route on Interstate 81 in Virginia. And why are they here? And, of course, right away you got a lot of response saying, wait, they're here because they were constructed, manufactured in York, Pennsylvania, BAE Systems, and they're being moved along the interstates for shipment out of the country. And it sounds logical, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, however, digging deep, and of course, then you've got radio personalities saying, what a bunch of conspiracy idiots, and spending a lot of time to make fun and to mock those people asking the question about that.
It wasn't just name-calling and questioning the reporting and information given. There was mocking.
It was actually an open feud. You can hear it on the radio. It was actually an open feud between Glenn Beck, who took it to the airwaves to say, hey, Alex Jones, you know, what a conspiracy guy. I'm not sure if he named Jones by name, but
no, he didn't. He played an audio.
Okay, which to me, come on. You know, what kind of games are we playing here? The facts are this. UN vehicles sighted on the roadways being shipped. What's the story? Well, when you start digging deeper, you find out that, wait a second, you know, we're not sure. We can't even, according to All News Pipeline, for example, and this is just one of several, they write, back on June 27th, we published a story, told you that UN trucks were spotted on 81 in Virginia, and warned why we believe they might be here in U.S. soil, to help Barack Obama fight extremism here in the United States. Now, according to this article, we also reminded you that according to previous documents and policy positions put out by this regime, well, that refuses, by the way, to say Islamic terrorism. The extremists, of course, are Christians, are Second Amendment advocates. We know this, supporters, conservatives, preppers, those who... can be considered patriots of America, and just about anyone else that this regime does not see eye to eye with. In fact, if you really get down to it, Donald Trump could fall into that category, could be considered a terrorist by this terrorist-supporting administration for his views on the scourge that is Islam.
I mean, look what's happening in the U.K.,
Yeah, that's right.
Now Muslims are offended by people saying the curse word.
Wait a second, let's not get off the UN trucks here, because as the research was done, the UN is now totally denying ownership of those trucks seen in Virginia on U.S. soil. The question is why? Does this denial help prove the premise for, perhaps, of a forthcoming UN takeover in America in an attempt to fight extremism, meaning you and I? The fact that the UN is a Sharia-compliant organization and doesn't consider Sharia as extreme is, should be troublesome to all of us, including you, considering everything else that we're now seeing take place. Is Christianity now considered extremism? Yes, it is. Is Sharia law now taking the place of our democratic laws? Yeah, I would say. But the fact that the manufacturer of these vehicles, BAE Systems, has a very lengthy history of working with the United Nations on, wait for it, global disarmament.
So it ties into Kerry, the gun ban treaty.
Yes, it ties into what we were talking about the signing of the UN treaty. It also goes, and think about what Brown over in California, Governor Brown, did by signing these, signing these laws where you want to buy ammo, you're going to have to be registered. You want to do whatever the case might be. So all of this is taking place all at one time. Now, put this against the backdrop of the election or the Republican and Democratic conventions coming up, and then the increase in violence, racial violence, and other aspects of violence here in the United States. You're looking now, and the reclassification, don't forget, this reclassification of people considered threats to America, more appropriately, threats to the leadership current of the United States, and that includes globalists as well on both sides of the political divide.
Now, here's something interesting I just found. It says, this is not the first time they've seen UN vehicles
right
in the country. Last year, Tim Brown with Freedom Outpost wrote, there are a lot of stories that reported about United Nations vehicles being transported on U.S. highways. The latest comes by way of video footage that shows the UN trucks that seem to be attempting to hide their logo as they were transported on a U.S. highway in northern Louisiana. The trucks appeared to be brand new under UN medical trucks identified with red crosses. Now, in the article, it says earlier in the article that a UN spokesman said that they could probably be owned by other countries like Afghanistan or Algeria and or one of the member states.
Possibly.
But was the Red Cross logo? So you have the Red Crescent in those countries.
Right. Yes.
But you have the Red Cross in the Western.
Well, it's all about plausible deniability. I view this. And again, we're taking over the country from within while we are diverted elsewhere. We are experiencing this takeover. You know, imagine being on a subway platform or a subway platform at Pelham, and everything's taken over. Okay, some spectators don't realize what's taking place. That could be many people here in the United States, but with respect to these UN vehicles, and again, this is according to the folks at All News Pipeline as well as others. Okay, the fact that the BAE Systems, the company that creates the weapons of death and destruction, is working toward this international arms trade treaty with the United Nations, folks, this should tell us much more than the UN or anybody in the mainstream media or anyone now considered alternative media could ever tell us, because these UN vehicles are on U.S. soil. And this from the BAE Systems website. Now listen to this, okay? Listen to this carefully. From the BAE Systems website themselves, the UN has called for the development of a multilateral, that is, arms trade treaty, ATT, of course, that would control the international transfer of conventional arms in an effort to tackle use of arms for terrorism and human rights abuses. Now, BAE Systems is, in fact, supporting preliminary work on ATT, that treaty, in the lead-up to a negotiating conference to be held in 2012. This is back now in 2010 and 2011 when this was posted on the BAE system, on the website. We convene an informal UK industry group that is working with government, non-governmental organizations, or NGOs, to develop a strategy on the treaty. Now, they're one of two industry members of the British Foreign and Commonwealth Office, ATT group, meeting on a regular basis with government officials and NGOs to create, in this case, a UK position on the scope and content of the treaty. Now the treaty is here in the United States. Kerry signs it again, or at least commits to that treaty again. There's various iterations and refinements of these treaties, but of course they would have to go through the Senate, the normal process to be ratified, but that does not mean that the United States cannot act as if this is a done deal prior to any ratification. Then you've got the UN vehicles, as we said, and the reclassification of those who are against us. So are they, the power structure, the question must be, are they ready to put the hammer down on us, the American citizens? We are running, time is running out right now on the economic system, which we have news about. Time is running out on us being able to float, to continue this economic in the same fashion. Money will become worthless soon. We're all living, all of us are living under this system. And this could very well be the last gasp, the last summer, the last... Absolutely. This might be the last 4th of July where we can actually...
Hey,
the Pope say we're free.
Could be last Christmas 6 months ago.
There you go. Now, let me add this here because this is important. I had mentioned earlier in the week that there's a source within DHS that formerly within DHS that has contact that I was in contact with, and we're going to have a conversation. Now, because of this individual's position, the contact is not, there's some steps that we're going to go through, and it's going to be done, and it's going to be done. So I'm not going to tell you when, but I can guarantee you that next week is going to be a very important week with respect to information from my source about these very issues. Trust me when I tell you that we just can't have a telephone conversation anymore. We can't have a conversation inside a house or a office or a studio anymore if without fear of identification. But getting back to what's taking place, and talking with Steve Quayle, Steve Quayle pointed me, Joe, to his alert that ties into what we're talking about. Now, if you don't understand what I'm referring to, go to stevequayle.com on the alert section. And here's the alert that Steve wanted me to read. And I read it, and I'm just going to read it to you very quickly. All the terrorist attacks, regardless of false flag or not, are totally working with the same idea. That is, setting the stage to condemn all forms of extremism / sovereignty. And this is all going straight towards Christianity in the long run. We will be branded extremists, and it will mean nothing to the sheeple that the Christians are not the ones blowing anything up or killing anyone. It's not going to matter, because we're all going to be lumped into the same category, which the Tavistockian language has already done that for us. The MIAC report already done that. The Justice Department, it's already accomplished. Now, back to the alert. Brexit is like a macro version to demonize sovereignty in general. And, you know, remember I was having a problem contextualizing Brexit and thinking, well, wouldn't this be bad for the globalist Brexit? That was my thinking, right? No, wait a second. When you look at it in the larger sense and add context to it, Brexit is a macro version of demonized sovereignty in general, and in this person's opinion, the terrorist attacks are more of a micro hit, or more to the point, which is going after Christians. Almost all the terrorist attacks are religious in nature. Now think about that, because that's an important component. And they're going to shift them from Muslim attacks to Christians being the problem, as idiotic as that sounds. But when you look at videos like Mark Dice out there asking people what the 4th of July is about, and they can't even, you know, and they nod their heads in agreement to Jesse Ventura being a founder of the country, a founding father, or some other tripe, we are in trouble, because the masses have been just totally mentally neutered. But the tactic is to outlaw Christianity through the demonization of the monotheistic religions, rightfully Islam. However, it's going to lump Christianity and Judaism in that. So bang, there we go. And that leads to criminalization of speech, which also leads to what I have up here. And Joe, you can talk about this with respect to the, let me see if I can get to it here. What happened in that town in Fox 2 reporter placed in handcuffs for attempting to cover city meeting. There we go.
Yep. In the city of Kinloch.
Yep.
They held a special meeting today on the heels of a Fox 2 investigation. And listen to this. About uninsured and unregistered police cars.
Yep.
And they say that they're uninsured and unregistered because, you know, they can't afford it. I can't afford it.
Yeah. but you know, anyway. You get police cars registered in private owners' names.
Yep. As cab drivers, as private citizens. Anyway, the meeting and our attempts to cover it are both in the news tonight. Now, this was, again, from Fox 2.
Yeah.
We were following up on an investigation by attending a public meeting. Now, they say this is a public meeting in which city leaders gathered to discuss the issues that were raised.
Mm-hmm.
The Kinloch police captain allowed citizens to enter the public meeting, but told me, this reporter, we could not bring a camera inside. I've told him, I've never heard of a closed public meeting. The captain said, you will not be coming in, sir. He motioned to other citizens, you two want to come in? Come on in. I said, it's a public meeting. The captain answered, no recordings, no video. Now, it goes on to explain that Kinloch is a small municipality off I-70, bordered by Ferguson on one side and Lambert Airport on the other. The Fox 2 investigations ran VIN numbers on police cars, finding one registered to a rural Missouri man. Another comes back to a cab company.
Yes.
Kinloch city officials told me they can't afford to buy insurance for their cars or the city.
Hence the reason for the straw man registration.
Right. And so they met to talk about it publicly. A sign on City Hall says no audio or video recordings of any kind is allowed in this building without prior written approval.
Yep.
As the reporter states, I went inside to get permission so that we would not be confrontational about our intent to cover the meeting. An officer initially told me, yes, it's a public meeting, but the captain later said no. Either you come into the meeting without your camera or you don't come in. After back and forth, he was put in handcuffs.
And leg irons. Take a look at this, folks, right here. Leg irons. Now, here's a Fox 2 news reporter going into... Now, you have to understand this. To ask, hey, this is an open meeting, a public meeting. I'm going to record. Is that all right? No. And the guy at the door, you could see him say, no, you have to take your camera out of here. And just for asking and not acting quick enough, he ends up in handcuffs and leg irons. Okay.
Along with charges.
This is a Fox 2 reporter right here.
He was charged with disorderly conduct and failure to comply.
That's right.
With a September court date. He is out on bail. Another Fox 2 employee did attend the meeting. City leaders talked about dissolving the police department, but decided to fight through their financial struggles and to continue policing without registering or insuring their squad cars.
But see, it's not even about
issue. It's about the censorship.
It's about the, that's right. It could be about, you know, the sewer system in there. But it's about, it's really what it is. It's about the stifling of the First Amendment. And this is what we're seeing. If you think for one moment that this is not going to be us, or you, or, you know, this is coming faster. It's already here, as you can see, but this is going to be coming faster than you can even imagine, with respect to the censorship against the First Amendment. Again, well, you know, taking over. One, two, three.
There was a story on InfoWars today about the secret rules that made it easy for the FBI to spy on journalists. And if you go to InfoWars.com, you can find it. But
well, we have it here.
Secret
as
FBI
well.
Rules allow agents to obtain journalists' phone records with approval from two internal officers. Far less oversight than under normal judicial procedures. And these are classified rules obtained by The Intercept dating back to 2013. Govern the FBI's use of national security letters, which allow the Bureau to obtain information about journalist calls without going to a judge or informing the news organization being targeted.
This is from the Domestic Investigations and Operation Guide 2 years ago, or 4 years ago, 3 years ago, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
3 years ago.
Media advocates said the documents show the FBI imposes few constraints on itself when it bypasses the requirement to go to court and obtain a subpoena and a warrant like the regular procedures of due process are, which protect citizens, including journalists, from having this intrusive, non-constitutional oppression placed on them.
You know,
special rules for a targeted populace, especially the journalists. As you see with the example that Bill Clinton and Loretta Lynch, as Secret Service and FBI agents ordered the press corps, people from ABC News, NBC News, MSNBC, Fox News, who obeyed their orders not to, to videotape or take pictures of former President Bill Clinton and Loretta Lynch's meeting, to the city, the Fox 2 News reporter getting thrown out of and arrested and handcuffed, charged for trying to cover a public meeting. I mean, the guy was a news anchor for the local Fox News affiliate to this information about, and this is just one of many stories about suppression.
Warrantless suppression and now
searching
right.
of contacts. I mean, DHS Insider, a source you had.
Right. Go on. Be careful, but go on.
Back in 2012, gave you some information.
And again,
you did a series of articles
coming back
with the information. Now
he's still in contact with certain people. I'm going to be talking
about.
Under
these rules, the FBI can and presumably have went through your phone records, went through your email records without warrants, without judicial approval and oversight.
Look, go on.
I mean, and it could get as bad as you know, sneak and peeks. You know, they get the warrants where they can enter your house and leave without you knowing. I believe that they do that on a regular basis without warrants.
Back a couple of years ago, I reported on the fact that I had I was on the phone. I was on the telephone. Mm-hmm. I hung up I was on. There's an entire saga behind this, okay?
Oh, it's more than that.
Well, yeah, and it's unfortunate. But the fact is, anyone who doesn't believe that the NSA, the FBI, is collecting not just metadata, but actual telephone conversations and storing them is out to lunch, in my view. And don't think for a minute that some little...
While the oppression becomes more severe for journalists and media and whistleblowers and sources, look at the decisions that have been made by courts about Facebook, allowing Facebook to track users' internet
even after
usage,
they're off. Yep.
Even if they're not or don't have an account with Facebook. I mean, they're bending the rules backwards to allow these big social media conglomerates censor news that they disagree with or they deem hate speech from their own perception while promoting oppressive, tyrannical tactics that these social justice warriors, you know, are fighting against. But in reality, these social justice warriors are bringing about the Nazi Germany style policing in this country.
Well, let me warn you.
They're the foot soldiers.
Let me tell you right now. Let me warn you guys of something. All right, you've got journalists out there. The finger better be loaded because I'm. You've got journalists out there, or so-called journalists who are supposedly, well, we're the, you know, I am the picture of truth. And what I say, if I report it, you can bet it's 100%. I have my sources. You've got these people who believe, well, the Freedom of Information Act, you'll get anything you want. All you have to do is file. It's a good thing. Yeah, I agree. Look, I understand the Freedom of Information Act is a good tool to use. But if for some, think of it this way. If you are a criminal and you've got something in your house, a piece of paper in your house that the court or the police or whatever is after, and this is all you got right here. And there's a warrant to get this. And you know the warrant is coming. You can destroy this in a fireplace. You can destroy this in a shredder and then burn the shreddings. You can bury it. You can have your dog eat it.
You can eat it.
Yeah, you can. But see, they don't... people who believe that everything is on the up and up, okay, have rainbows and oatmeal for brains, okay? Or dreams of rainbows, and it's ridiculous. But the fact of the matter is this: I was the target of an NSA surveillance operation. Now, can I prove it? No. But when I hung up, when I had the conversation telephonically, and I was talking with a reporter, see, and these people don't give a crap about facts. When I was talking with a reporter from Fox News, then. After that phone conversation was almost completed, call waiting came up, and it was Steve Quayle. I was talking to Steve Quayle. When I hung up the phone, I looked at my, there was a ring back. I looked at the phone, and there was an Utah Data Recording Center thing show up on the phone. It was a ring back. I picked it up, and I heard a recording. Can I prove that? Hell no, I can't prove that. I can't prove it. Except to swear out, you know, an affidavit saying it happened. So that's my word, but can I prove it? No. But see, what happens is, now, just to be clear, what happens is this. I'm not talking about anybody. Just to be clear, I'm not talking about anybody in particular. But imagine this. Imagine this scenario. Okay? Again, not talking about any. Disclaimer, I am not speaking about anyone. What would happen if you wanted to spread disinformation, and you say, "Well, you know what? I'm going to write a report about the UN trucks, for example, and I'm going to investigate this, and then I'm going to contact sources." And all the sources you contact are compromised or in the tank. And you're able to report saying, well, that it's false. That report about UN trucks, you know, in the United States is false. It's overblown. Well, now, how can you be sure that's the case? How can you be positive? Kind of like somebody who would write a book about, Obama. Obama. And have a listing of crimes or scandals associated with Obama. But only touching on the very issues they want you to see while hiding the deeper things. In other words, redirecting your interest from the topics that are important to the topics they write about. The perception is, well, I'm a reporter,
investigative reporter, and I'm going after Obama. I'm exposing Obama. But the real twist is, no, you are directing the readers of your book, you're directing the reader's attention toward not what's really important, but all of the window dressing and the fluff, thereby protecting Obama or whoever it might be. That's the tactic we are seeing among so-called conservative journalists here in the United States. Now, you might think, well, how's that even relevant? Well, because we've got sellouts. We've got sellouts because there are secret rules here. If you look at this, there are secret rules that make it pretty easy for the FBI to spy on journalists. And you've got journalists who are actually acting in concert with the people who are making these rules for a seat at the globalist table. That's what we're seeing here. That's why we are being captured from within. I don't know if I made sense, but the fact is we're being captured from within because there is a complicity. Even within the so-called independent media, there's a complicity here. And yeah, where the real truth, in some cases, where the real truth seekers, and I like to consider ourselves real truth seekers. I don't know.
Absolutely.
Can I prove we're real? No. But you get the idea.
I can tell you with a pure heart and a clean conscience that we are.
Yeah, sure. So, the bottom line here is, the war is not only against those who we know are our enemies. The war is asymmetrical. There are people inside the gate, but even on the inside of inner circles of the armies within the gate. On
think
our
of
side.
Like sleeper cells,
yeah,
in a way, only for, you know, working against us. And it's, you know, this system of oppressing and censoring news that is not wanted to be heard by the government, they turn around at the same time. I mean, the FBI, what we just covered about the journalist not needing warrants to spy on journalists, whether it's their phone records, email records, getting their sources, but they turn around and use this. I don't know how many people have seen this. The FBI asks agencies who responded to Pulse to deny records request. Now, I don't know why they do this, but the FBI has asked law enforcement agencies who responded to the Pulse nightclub to withhold records from the public, according to officials. A letter from June 20th that the FBI sent to the City of Orlando's lawsuit over withholding 911 calls and other records from 25 media outlets, including the Orlando Sentinel, also sent to the Seminole County Sheriff's Office with instructions pertaining to how they should respond to record requests. The letter requests that agencies deny inquiries and direct departments to immediately notify the FBI of any request your agency received so the FBI can seek to prevent disclosure through appropriate channels as necessary. The Seminole County Sheriff's Office sent the Sentinel a letter Tuesday night in response to a request for documents, video, and audio recordings from the early morning hours of June 12th, the night the shooting took place. A spokeswoman for the sheriff's office said the FBI sent them a letter Monday night and instructed us to forward it to anyone requesting records. So, you request or want a transcript of or video or audio recordings from the police and their investigation, the FBI has come in and said, no, you will not release any records of any inquiries in order to prevent disclosure. Disclosure of what? What do you have to hide? If this is exactly, if what happened at the nightclub and what was reported by media outlets is what really happened, then why would they want to suppress any and all requests for
and we are working on information. I mean, we have a lot of questions about what took place at that Orlando nightclub. You heard, perhaps you did or may not have heard, Judge Napolitano say that no one was shot, killed, or no one was killed.
Judge Napolitano?
Judge Napolitano is recorded, and you can Look, I didn't see it live. I don't know. You can find it on YouTube where Napolitano said that no one inside the nightclub was killed until the SWAT team entered the building. Now, I don't know how that is even possible.
Well, you know, I read a report where within 5 minutes of the initial 911 call, five police officers, a pre-tactical team, went inside and engaged the shooter as he went into the bathroom and were told to stand down until SWAT arrived.
Well, so, you know, we're not being told the truth on what happened. And why
there would be no reason
there
to suppress the public records. And the letter the FBI is releasing is the media is saying it is adversely affecting their ability to investigate the shootings and bring the matter to a resolution. They also say the records could endanger witnesses and law enforcement officers involved in the case. But lawyers for the media outlets argue the record should be released because there's a strong public interest in fully evaluating how first responders and police reacted to the most critical phases of this incredible tragedy, the lawsuit states. On Wednesday, the FBI denied the Sentinel's request for records related to the shooting.
No,
and we'll continue
and you're right.
to do so.
Seriously, what is the reason for doing that? I mean, what is the rationale for doing that? I don't get it.
Their rationale is that it would harm
what?
The investigation and the witnesses and police officers involved.
Okay.
I don't know how.
Yeah, nor
but
do
that's
I.
what they say. In a letter, the FBI says they are concerned releasing records would adversely affect our ability to effectively investigate the shooting and bring the matter to resolution. They also say records could endanger witnesses and law enforcement officers involved in the case. I mean, it's just incredible. Guccifer 2.0. You heard about him?
Yes.
Guccifer 2.0 reveals Clinton expenses, clues on identity, and slams presidential hopefuls. Releasing a new batch of documents from the Democratic National Committee, hacker Guccifer 2.0 mocked allegations he works for the Kremlin, praised Julian Assange, Edward Snowden, and Chelsea Manning, and dismissed all the U.S. presidential contenders. The hacker revealed he is male from somewhere in Eastern Europe and denied working for the Russian government. New documents reveal conversations about the Clinton Foundation and attacks it suffered in the media. One document detailed various attacks on Clinton by Republicans via Twitter on topics such as Clinton Foundation, healthcare, Iran, the military, and coal, with links to the tweets in question. Details of the Clinton Foundation donations were also featured, along with documents arguing that there is nothing unusual about presidential libraries and foundations receiving contributions from foreign governments.
The emails, Clinton emails, all, and this does tie back into that little visit, I believe, between Bubba and lynch mob there. Okay, I truly believe that the emails are in the possession of foreign governments, in particular Putin. Notice Putin has been very silent about a number of things, including Brexit. He's been silent about our domestic, and not that he's got to, you know, weigh in on our domestic election, but he, you know, he's watching. But I do believe that foreign governments, including Russia, have copies of those emails that were bandied about on a private server or unsecured server. So, there's, again, we are faced with asymmetrical warfare from within, and by people who are cloaked in sheep's clothing, and we are faced with obvious overt enemies from without. Now, let's touch upon something else that's very disturbing. I don't know how many people have heard about the 19-year-old Hannah Cohen, a young disabled woman who her mother described her as partially deaf, blind, and one eye paralyzed, and confused mm-hmm. easily.
She just had brain surgery as
well. Yeah. Well, she was beaten
can you believe this, beaten by TSA agents after her flight home. Now, she was returning home to Chattanooga after receiving treatment for a brain tumor at St. Jude's Hospital. Hannah Cohen, 19 years old now, she was returning home after receiving her final treatment for the brain tumor. And this trip back from St. Jude's, that was one of many. I mean, she's been flying back and forth for years now. But instead of being able to celebrate the completion of her treatment, Hannah Cohen and her mother were subjected to rough handling and treatment, inexplicable treatment from TSA and its agents, as well as the local cops in Memphis. 19 years old. She apparently set off a metal detector at TSA security.
I don't understand that.
Hang on. Somehow, okay, she set off a TSA a metal detector. Okay, now she was being led. Apparently, there was a hop in between here. So she was being led away for additional screening, or something happened here, or she was on her way home. Okay.
Okay. That makes sense.
Sorry about that. I should have made that clear. She set off a metal detector. She was led away for additional screening. And then that's when things took just a huge left turn. Her mother.
She's deaf.
Well, partially.
She sets off the metal detector.
Yeah.
Unknowingly. Probably continuing to move. A TSA agent probably yelling. She's not responding because she's deaf.
She was reluctant. She didn't understand why they wanted her for a secondary screening. Okay, again, you have to understand she's not 100%. So Hannah's mother, she attempted to act as a go-between between the TSA agents and her daughter. And she said, look, my daughter's partially deaf, partially blind. She's easily confused. And she's undergoing treatment for a brain tumor. But instead of listening, the police actively sought to keep her separated, the mother and daughter separated. So, yeah, you can't see your daughter, and of course you can't help her out. Now, obviously, Hannah was confused and terrified. What happened was she attempted to break free from the grasp of the agents. So the TSA agents then took this disabled young woman, threw her to the ground violently. She was trying to get away from him because, yeah, what kind of treatment is that? And the next thing you know, one of them had her down on the ground and her head
smashed
on the floor.
Off the ground, blood everywhere.
Yeah.
Handcuffed.
Yeah. There was blood everywhere.
Thrown in jail.
Yeah.
Later to be released.
Well, right. The young woman who was simply, again, coming home to what should have been something victorious after completing a final treatment, she was arrested and booked into jail, compliments of the police department. And her mother, you know, none too happy about this either. All right. She was handcuffed and she was booked in jail. If you look, there are, you can just do a search on this. There are heartbreaking photographs of her on the internet. I mean, heartbreaking. Now, the TSA, the authorities later threw out the charges. This according to WREG, but the Cohen family has filed a lawsuit against the Memphis airport, the airport police, and the TSA. And this brings up another part of the conversation. We need to hold the airports and airlines accountable for these, in this case, the brown shirts, the TSA parties. If we put the hurt on, in my view, if we put the hurt on the airlines, if we put the hurt on the airports, we can all make a difference. And as I've said before, one person complaining at a TSA checkpoint, yeah, you get arrested. Two people, five people, yeah, you might get a news crew there. If everyone says, no, don't touch me, then we can enact change. You know, if these morons in the Senate and the House, if they in fact can have a sit-in for guns or whatever, my goodness, can't we
stage something like this, if that's what they want to do. At what point, who's going to stand up? My question is out there to the audience is, who's going to stand up to these thugs? Why in the world are we still flying? Why are we allowing ourselves to be subjected to this treatment? Are there no other options? That's my question.
Yeah, I mean, we hold the power as citizens of this country. And not only do we hold the power, we have the responsibility. It was laid out in our founding documents.
That we're supposed to be celebrating this weekend.
It's not only our right, but our duty to protect what the founders had laid out for us.
That's right. That's right.
But I don't know what it is. People are so dumbed down.
They are
so self-centered. I mean, we have... I just thank the Lord. We are so blessed to have the audience that we have with the amount of intelligent listeners that we have. But understand that this audience is the exception to the rule.
Oh, yeah.
If you want to see what the actual normal American is, go to your Walmart on a Saturday or your local mall or an amusement park. And hear that, you know, you ever sit at a restaurant and hear the people around you and the conversations they have and just sit there and you think, like, I mean,
yeah.
An example, and I say that because I went today, I heard there's a young couple I went out to lunch with. My mother-in-law took me and my wife out to lunch today. And there was a young couple talking about how, because Bernie Sanders wasn't going to be in a nominee, how the country was, you know, going to be destroyed and how we needed socialism.
Who said that?
A young couple said.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, okay. That's what I thought you said, but I want to make sure.
And I couldn't hear the whole conversation, and I was getting bits and pieces because I was not trying to, obviously. I was trying to listen, but I was interacting with my family, so it was kind of difficult. But, I mean, the stuff they were saying... the wealth redistribution ideas that I heard from these people, it hadn't, I mean, and I did turn around and look, they were easily in their late 20s, early 30s. But man, I mean, if we did what they wanted to, or some of these, you know, people on the street interviews, that is your average American. They have no idea, you know, why we're even celebrating Independence Day.
That's right.
They couldn't tell you who the vice president is. They couldn't tell you what the Second Amendment is, the Fourth Amendment. They have no interest in anything outside of their own imagination and fulfilling of their bodily desires, the lust of the heart. And I got to give compliments to Daniel Duvall. I'm in the middle of reading his book, Sheep Nations. And he, I mean, we're going to have him back on because we want to talk to him about, I mean, this book is great. And I have it here on my computer somewhere, but, he talks about how, you know, he breaks it down from the heart, the soul, the spirit, and how each of these works. And, you know, the heart is the gate to the subconscious. And he talks about how, and he lays it out with scriptures. He'll give a paragraph of insight and quote a scripture. And it's just amazing. I'm learning so much from this book how, you know, the subconscious is something that it's subconscious. What we're conscious of is things we know, we can think about them, we can talk about them. Subconscious is things that don't come to the surface like regular thoughts. They're things that the heart desires.
That's right. Well, Joe, but, we're up against the top of the hour.
Okay.
And I hate to cut you short
fine.
But
that's fine.
But
I don't have the book with me, so it's
on the
hard.
On the other side of the break, let me ask you, folks. is your name on an ISIS kill list, you might be surprised. Well, there are 15,000. Well, wait a second. There are a number of ISIS kill lists in the circulation. We found a couple of them. We can't verify the accuracy of them. Now, some are posted to Islamic language websites. There are 15,000 names on one. There's 8,000 on another. There's another 4,000 Americans on a third list. And guess what? Most people in the alternative media, new media, are, independent media are. Folks, we'll be right back. More on that later.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.